Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hi, this is Freddie Spencer coming to you after the last round of the 2018 MotoGP World Championship in Valencia, Spain. Now, this was always going to be an interesting weekend. And actually, I kind of look at it now because of it's the last round and the championships were already decided, that it's that race that gives maybe someone the opportunity to get a win in that they wouldn't or hadn't so far. Some last chance opportunities if you haven't been on the podium this year to get on the podium, or maybe if you've never been on the podium before, it's a great opportunity in the last round of the championship. And then of course you have what is actually will begin the week after, the 2019 testing season. So it's exciting. And it's a race that I have been to a couple of times and was down there for the race this year. Now, the weather was not that great. In fact, it was warmer and drier when I left London to get the plane down on Thursday. But it's always was going to be exciting, and this weekend it certainly was. Now, we, as most of you know, if you watched it, the weather was atrocious in many ways. There was really no opportunity to get any completely dry practice in. And so that puts a lot of pressure on the riders and the teams in the MotoGP class, because they have to take advantage of an opportunity if it is a little bit drier, which it was in a couple of the sessions, to where they could get down and get a pretty decent time in. But like I said, because of the threat of rain, you always have to be on top of your game. Now, I've ridden around Valencia a few times. They do a classic event there at the beginning of every racing season, at the end of February, 1st of March, a Valencia Classic. And I want to tell you something. If you think it looks pretty tight on TV, it is tight when you ride around it. And I've ridden a 250 around there, 250 GP bike, and of course 500, a three-cylinder 500 a few times. And it's a fun track to ride on. And the reason why that it is the way it is and shaped is because of the massive grandstands to get that effect of a stadium. And so the track was built with that in mind, and I think that it actually does a great job considering the amount of space that they have to work with. And so it's one of those tracks that you spend a great deal of time, of course, except on the front straightaway, either one side of the tire or the other. And so that really makes it critical in wet conditions that you got to really stay on top of your game. Certainly the crew and has to do a good job of setting up the electronics. If you listen to the MotoGP bikes on the front straightaway, you really don't even really hear them break traction that often. The riders would feel it, but certainly you can hear it. But it's amazing how proactive the electronics are in that respect. But they still, like I said, have to be really careful, and we saw that in the race, of when they're carrying speed. Certainly on current entry, you're going to have some crashes. And like I said, because it is a track that you're either one side or the other and making the big, you know, in the sweepers, and then because there's not a whole lot of distance between most corners, the straight line is transitions from one side to the other. And so, like I said, it really puts a lot of stress on the riders to really be on top of the game. And what I mean by that is looking ahead, making sure that they're really prepared and they have the right trajectory. Because riding in the rain and carrying speed and trying to take some of the pressure off the load is having the right trajectory and really, and also carrying momentum and carrying speed. Going into the weekend, like I said, there was certainly a lot of riders that wanted to end the season strong. Of course, Mark wanted to win in front of his home fans. And also the Ducatis want to kind of continue what they started this year. I know with Jorge, he certainly wasn't going to be anywhere near 100%. But as I said in last show, he certainly wanted to try to get as many laps as he can before he made the transition. Of course, this week that he would be to HRC as Mark Marquez's teammate. And so there was going to be that. I know that the Yamahas have really done a great job. And, you know, it's interesting, and they had kind of said in the press that they really struggled in wet conditions with the 2000. They certainly did with last year's bike in wet conditions, and certainly in the conditions as we saw in a couple of sessions where it's wet and dry, and just that not completely wet, not completely dry. They certainly have struggled in those conditions. But in years past, if we go back to 2015, those were the conditions that really propelled Valentino Rossi, Valentino, to lead the championship, because it looked like everything was working in his favors, as we know. And on race days, in those kind of iffy conditions, him and his M1 were basically almost unbeatable. It may not have won the race, but he certainly was right there challenging so many times. And like I said, it's what allowed him to be leading the world championship. So that is something they've struggled with, and was that going to be better this weekend? Well, it was. Maverick Grinales, of course, in pretty almost dry conditions, was on the pole and did a great job with that. Dovey was right there on the front row. Mark struggled. He had a crash and a couple of crashes in practice and in qualifying. So, and that shoulder, I watched him, and you could see the pain he was in. And I was actually up in race control, and we were watching, and you could see in one of the crashes, well, twice it happened to him, to where the airbag, when his airbag inflated, what it looked like to me is that it actually put his shoulder, popped it out, or put it in such a position that it was just extremely painful. And then he'd go back to the pits, let their out, and then, you know, reset it, and he was fine. But he certainly is going to have to, you know, after he gets through this week, and I think they have one more test, and they talked about he's going to get it fixed in December, and I'm sure he's going to be happy about that, because it's got to be causing him not only some pain, but just discomfort, and maybe not really able to do what he'd like to with the bike because of it. And so, but championship is out of the way, and now you can get that fixed and get back going. As we got into the race, because the weather conditions, it certainly looked like that Sunday was going to be the most the wettest, and it was. And they started the race. Valentino was back, I believe, in 16th position. Jorge Lorenzo was back at 12th. And at the start, and this is something that I would encourage every rider that has a dream of racing at any level, is to watch how Valentino takes advantage of getting through as many riders as he can in that first lap. It made me actually think of something. When I was a kid, one of my strengths was passing, flat track. And I had to learn. You had to learn to do, because on most Friday nights, we'd race on tracks, all different type dirt surfaces, but the ones I was really good on were the tricky ones, very narrow grooves, not a whole lot of traction, required a lot of finesse, a lot of throttle control, and the ability to be able to pass in a small area, and to be able to make a pass on someone when they least expected it, and I could do that first couple laps in a race. I had to start on the back row. If you had a jump start, only 12 lap main event, and you had 12 riders, and only a little quarter mile, and I could come from the back row and a lot of times be in the lead in three or four laps. And it was just my ability to be able to kind of see gaps and to be able to take advantage of it when other writers are just trying to get settled in to a rhythm. And that's where Valentino is so strong. He passed 8 riders the first lap in those conditions. And that first lap, and you probably could see it on the screen, you can't see very well anyway. There were these rain tires, and rain tires do such a great job of dissipating in the water. But it causes a massive spray. And I watched him specifically for that reason. And the camera angles were amazing of the range control. And you could see just the different ways that he was getting through riders. And hats off. Great job, Valentino. And he was up front and, what, up to 4th, 5th, 2nd or 3rd lap. And in fact, if they hadn't stopped, in fact, Maverick Vinales had said that he thought after the race, him and Valentino both thought they could have finished 1st and 2nd. That was a couple of reasons. One, obviously, Maverick would have had to not crash as he did. But they chose the correct tire. They chose the soft front, and Rins and Dovi were both on the mediums. And that's what was allowing Valentino, especially toward the end of that first segment, before they threw the red flag, because the water built up and they were hydroplaning. You could see that in Bradley Smith's crash. He would have probably won the race if they would have just continued on with that first one. But as Valentino said afterwards, and I respect him and commend him for saying it, that even though it cost him, it was the safest thing that was done. And so race direction stopped the race and did the restart. Of course, Mark was out. Interesting thing about Bradley Smith, he crashed, actually got his bike back to pit road on the service road. He picked the bike up because they threw the red flag that lap that he crashed, and you have 5 minutes to get back, get the bike back to pit road. He was technically still in the race, even though he wasn't on the racetrack. He was on the road, the circular road, the road that's just on the edge of the track where service vehicles go. Anyway, he got back to pit lane and got back in for the restart. So good job, Bradley. Paul Sparga, he definitely benefited from that red flag because he crashed. Or he struggled in the first part and got for a complete restart and was able to take advantage of that and ended up finishing in 3rd spot. So that was his first podium, and as well as KTM's first podium. So it's really a good job for Paul. To have the struggles he did in the first leg, and then was able to, you know, pick the bike up, of course, and continue in the first part of the race. But he was so good ways back, but got there and took advantage of a good start in the second leg and got up to 3rd place. So it's not many times that you have, in that case, a struggle where you crash, pick the bike up, get back going, and then you think you never imagine that things are going to happen, but it shows that you can never say never, and the most important thing is to hang in there, and that's what he did, and great ride for 3rd place. Valentino, as we were saying, had a great first part of the race, but it looked like that he was going to maybe get at least 2nd in the second leg, or where was the restart, his 2nd part of the race, but he crashed. And that's, you know, 2 races where, out of the last 3, where he was right there and had 2 crashes. So certainly his speed is there. It's just he's going to have a little bit better luck to get the job done. But what can you say? Great job for Alex Rins. He looked like he had the race pretty much under control before the red flag and then picked that up in the 2nd part. As I was saying, I think Dovi and Rins both were able to go to the soft tire, which helped them in the 2nd leg, and got a great job done and finished 2nd. Like I said, Paul was 3rd, but great job for Dovi. He just seems to get it done in all conditions, and whether it's dry, iffy conditions, or as it was on Sunday, in complete wet conditions. And I think that is a good sign for him. Of course, he's going to have Daniel Petrucci as his teammate for 2019. They say that the 2018 bike was such a vast improvement that the 19 bike, they just hope to refine a little bit. So that's a great sign, and hopefully, you know, that'd be good for them, and they'll be competitive like they were. But, you know, the MotoGP World Championship, as the last weekend showed, is as good as it gets as far as competitiveness between all the manufacturers. And with the new influx of Moto2 riders for next year, a new Yamaha team, I think it's going to be an exciting championship for 2019. So having said that, I want to say a couple more things. One is as I said before in the last shows, that I'm now going to be, for beginning in 2019, the FIM MotoGP Stewards Panel Chairman. And because of that, I won't be doing these podcasts anymore. Now, it doesn't mean that you won't ever see me do something, because maybe you're going to do some with Matt. I know we have one more program we're going to do, kind of our year-end show, that we'll be talking. And then next season, do be doing some, maybe some special events as the season goes, just talks and things with Motorsports Magazine. We'll have to see. But having said that, I want to say this, that I really have enjoyed these last couple of years doing this with everyone. I hope that the insight has been interesting and maybe give you some information and some a little different way to think about it, certainly from the rider's perspective and my years of Grand Prix racing. There's been a lot of comments and things, and I really appreciate the support, and I've really enjoyed it. So if I don't see you again doing these podcasts, hope to see you at a Grand Prix, because I'll be there at Qatar next year beginning this new journey. I look forward to that, and hope maybe I'll see you sometime. Thank you.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.